Want to pause the story there. I did laundry this week, which hopefully doesn't surprise any of you. We have a shared laundry room in the building that I live in, and right now it's just a small laundry room, but right now we're only allowed to go in one person at a time. And the day I chose to go was very, very busy, so there was regularly people waiting. And at one point I was down at one end of the laundry room and a guy came bursting in, and he took one look at me, went, "It's so nice to see a person." And he just, and we had this conversation, me at one end of the laundry room and him at the other. And he said, "All I've seen for 2 weeks is my daughter and my wife. I haven't seen anybody else for a week." And we had this great conversation about just life and what this weirdness of our current situation was like, and had this shared connection over the isolation and the loneliness and those things. This is for many of us who are sitting here on our phones and on our computer screens right now. It is a time of incredible aloneness and potentially aloneness and loneliness. Even though we can connect like this, even though we're probably spending more time on the phone than we ever have before in our lives, this is a hard time, and it's still not quite the same as being physically present with other people. But the fact is, and I think we're all aware of this, it's possible to be lonely. It's possible to feel very alone, even when we're surrounded by people, even when we're busy in our lives. And I think when I think about this story and where we're at with Peter, I think that's what it must have been like for Peter. I mean, we just left the story, we've paused the story, and we've left at this point where Peter is actually in a courtyard, surrounded by people. He's standing over, I picture it as a great big metal garbage can, warming his hands in the cold air. And he's surrounded by other people doing the same thing. But I was thinking about this, and I think Peter must have felt so incredibly alone during this time. The other disciples were elsewhere. John, his best friend of the disciples, had gone in. He was in there. He was witnessing what was happening with Jesus, but Peter wasn't able to go in. Peter didn't go in. And even when John sent somebody to get him and say, "Hey, you're with him as well. Why don't you come in?" He denied it. He said, I can't go in there. I can't stand up for this." There's something that happens when we're alone. There's something that happens when we are experiencing that kind of isolation, that suddenly we don't feel strong. We feel more vulnerable. We feel weaker. It's why people congregate into cliques and gangs and things like that, because when you're surrounded by other people, you have people to bolster you up. You feel a bit stronger. You feel a little bit braver. But in this moment in time, Peter is all on his own. He isn't aware the other disciples are. He got his strength from Jesus, and Jesus has been carted away. Who knows where Jesus is now and what's going on? And he's terrified. He's afraid. And so I was thinking about Peter and what was going on with Peter, and I was struck by how different that whole experience is from what was happening with Jesus. That Jesus also was truly alone, right? Like Jesus was on trial. Jesus had nobody standing up for him. Jesus had been carted off by the soldiers, and he didn't run away. Even when he was in the garden and he knew what was coming, this, we didn't read this part, it happened at another part, but he knew what was coming and he willingly stepped into it. And he had this strength inside of him that even when he was isolated, even when he was completely alone, he was able to move forward and go with what he wanted to do. And there's a part in the story when we're going to get to it later, when Jesus is hanging on the cross and he says these famous words, my God, why?" And I've called them up because they come from Psalm 22. And if you can see the screen, you can see them now if you're on the phone. Psalm 22, the first two verses, when Jesus was at his most alone, when Jesus was feeling most abandoned, he spoke these words, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And it would have brought to mind anybody who heard it. They knew he was quoting a psalm. "Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief." That's the extraordinary level of aloneness that Jesus was feeling. And yet he had strength. And so then the question is, where on earth did his strength come from? And I think it came from that same place in that same psalm, because that psalm doesn't end at verse 2. It goes on. And this is so typical of the laments all throughout scripture, that there's this crying out, there's this desperate need for God, and then it's followed up by these words of faith. And in this Psalm 22, which Jesus was quoting, after my God, why have you forsaken me? We get to verses 3 to 5, and they read this way. Yet you, God, are holy. You are enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our ancestors trusted in you and you rescued them. They cried out to you and were saved. They trusted you and were never disgraced. I am convinced that this is where Jesus' strength came from. Compared to Peter, whose strength was in the people who were around him, Jesus' strength was in God. Jesus' strength was in knowing absolutely with every part of himself who God is, and that God was still sovereign and God was still good, that the worst could come, but God had not forgotten and God had not forsaken. And just as God had and continues to act in the past, he would continue to do so today. He would continue to do so in the future. The biblical phrase we use is God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I think Jesus was clinging to that. I think that's what gave Jesus the strength and the stamina to keep going forward, even when he was isolated. Even when he was alone, in the way that Peter wasn't able to be. We are not alone. I know that when we're in this environment, we can kind of look around and we recognize our church family. And we go, yeah, I'm not alone. It can feel still like we're isolated and alone, but our strength doesn't lie even in each other. Our strength doesn't lie in the families that surround us, in the friends that we have. Our strength lies in God. Our strength lies, our non-aloneness lies in the truth that because of Jesus, we've been made brothers and sisters. We've been adopted into God's family. And my goodness, if God, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if God, who is the creator of the entire universe, if the God who has power over death, and that's where this story takes us, to the fact that God conquered death, if that's true, then we don't have to be afraid. Then we don't have to experience the kind of fear and vulnerability that Peter felt. We can instead move forward, that as scary as these days are, as frightening as it is, as hard as it is to be isolated like we need to be, our God is with us. He has not forsaken us. And this God who acted in the past will continue to act in the future. And so on that note, I want us to return to the story now. We're picking it up at John 18, verse 19. In John 13, as part of the conversation that was happening over dinner, that last dinner that Jesus shared with his disciples, after Judas had left, Peter says this after a number of things that Jesus had to say. In verse 37, Peter says to Jesus, "I am ready to die for you." And Jesus answered him, "Die for me? I tell you the truth, Peter. Before the rooster crows tomorrow, you will deny me 3 times that you even knew me." And now here he is. He has denied knowing Jesus 3 times, and the rooster crows. Can you imagine how incredibly awful that must have been for Peter? I'm sure with that sound of the rooster in the background, it must have twigged that memory. He must have remembered almost immediately those words of Jesus. And I can imagine that he was cut to the quick, that he was devastated, that probably in that moment, he just wanted to curl up in a hole somewhere and disappear. He probably just wanted to pretend that the world didn't exist, that he didn't exist, that it was all gone, but he couldn't take it back. 3 times he'd said of Jesus, "No, I didn't know him. I don't know him." We, I think, have been there. Not necessarily with denying that we know Jesus, but with that sense of having discovered that we aren't as great as we think we are, or we aren't as strong as we think we are, or we aren't as faithful as we think we are. You know, when Peter was surrounded by Jesus and the other disciples, and he was able to say, there's no way I would ever betray you. I love you, Jesus, and I will follow you to death if that's what it takes. And to discover that that wasn't true, to discover that he didn't have that kind of strength, that he didn't have what it took to stay faithful to Jesus for even just, it had only been hours. It had only been hours and already he had disappeared. I think we experience that sometimes. We think that we're okay. We think that we're good people. We think that we've got it together. And then all of a sudden something happens. We do something or we don't do something. We say something or we fail to say something and we're cut to the quick and we realize we're not as good. We're not as strong. We're not as faithful as we thought we were. And for those of us who have decided that we really genuinely want to follow Jesus as the way that we live our lives, that cuts to the quick to realize the ugliness in ourselves, to realize the brokenness in ourselves is one of the hardest things I think that ever comes across us. But there's good news in this story. And the story is that Jesus, that God never ever leaves us in that place. Now, Peter, he's stuck here, and we don't hear again from Peter until later. But I want us to jump ahead because I think it's important that we not stay stuck here. And so I want to jump ahead to John 21. This happened after Jesus had been raised from the dead. Peter and the other disciples, they were out fishing, and Jesus, the raised Jesus, shows up on the shore, and they come in, they have breakfast with Jesus. And after breakfast, this conversation ensues between Jesus and Simon Peter. I'm going to read it for you. It's John 21, 15 to 17. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, that was just another name for Peter, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. Now, just to pause there for a second, how hard was that for Peter to say, knowing that he had betrayed Jesus? But the reality was, even despite his actions, despite his words, when Jesus needed him the most, he still deeply and desperately loved Jesus. And he says it here, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus says to him, then feed my lambs. And then Jesus repeated the question a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. And a third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. And I can picture him in his head, in his heart, going, you know everything. You know that I betrayed you, but you also know how deeply I regret that, how sorry I am, how broken up I am about that. And he says, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. And that's the end of that little pericope, that little story in there. But I think most commentators agree that Jesus asked Peter three times, and with each announcement, yes, Lord, I love you. You know that I love you. He was canceling out the denials that Peter had spoken earlier, because that's what God does when God forgives us. He cancels out. I mean, sure, there's still ramifications. There's still consequences to our sin and the behaviors and the words that we speak and don't speak and the things we do and don't do. But forgiveness is also there. God is a God of grace. Jesus is a Jesus of grace. He's our Savior. He has saved us from our sin. And so we can turn to him over and over and over again, and we can take that hardship, everything that's so hard, and we take it to God, and we are assured that he forgives us. It has been good to gather together, to hear the story together, to remember the story upon which our salvation, our redemption, our lives, our hope is all built. And I hope that I will see you or hear you again on Sunday. If you don't have the meeting ID, just email me, pastor@walmer.ca, and let me know. But as you go from this place, hear these words. May God bless you and keep you. May the face of God shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God's presence surround you and give you peace. Amen.